we were singing about grace, and that's the topic here in this section of Scripture. Isaiah 59, and I think it's verse 21. I want to back up and read several verses before that particular verse. Because I feel like it's necessary. Let's begin reading at verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal for a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the isles will he repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, turn back to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30. Let's begin reading in verse 8. Now, go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you for a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking forth suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel, that it is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye say, no, we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee, And ye will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, until ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign upon a hill. Now, our unfaithfulness to God is what's being spoken of here. That it's not by our works, not by anything that we are enabled to do or anything that we do. But look at verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait upon him. Now look at Isaiah 43. Now, what Brother Jerry mentioned there, in the travels of the children of Israel through the wilderness, he waited till all that generation died off. And then he led their children into the promised land and fulfilled his promise in bringing them into the promised land. Isaiah 43, let's begin reading at verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the desert and rivers in the desert to give drink unto my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. So what am I going to do with you now? He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. As for me, this is my covenant unto them, saith the Lord. This is my determination. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to wait on them. I'm not going to rely on their works, but I will deliver them. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare there that thou mayest be justified. Now go back to Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit which is upon thee, and my word which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now it is the word made effectual by the Spirit that is the seed that saves the soul.
Yeah.
So in that he has promised that his word and his seed will not, and his spirit will not depart out of the mouth of his people or his church from henceforth forever. That's what we can depend on. Look at look at John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word and the spirit. Now the word, just the reading of the word, without the operation of the Holy Spirit in the heart to effectually teach us the word, profits nothing. But when the word is taken in the hand of the Holy Spirit and he plants that word in our heart, then it becomes to us an engrafted word. And it forms the law of God in our heart. And it gives us a new heart and a new spirit. Look at James 1:18 or 1:19, I guess it is. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. When that word is engrafted in our heart, it brings forth fruit after the graft. That's the way it is in nature. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of God that takes the word of God and plants it in our heart and makes it effectual unto salvation. Without work of the Spirit, there is no new life. There is no spiritual birth. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now faith is the fruit of the Spirit. And it is the Spirit that makes the word effectual in our heart, that plants it in our heart, gives it growth in our heart, and gives us the grace of the Spirit. Amen. So the promise is to thee and thy seed. Now I like that, the first three words there. He says, as for me. His resolve is not going to be determined, be thwarted. His purpose is not going to be changed. What he has set out to do from everlasting, he is going to accomplish regardless of our unfaithfulness. Regardless of our works, whether they be good or bad, whether they be faithful or unfaithful, he's going to save. For instance, if David, King David, commits murder in the altar, didn't alter God's plan, didn't change his mind. If all of the children of God fall in Adam, didn't deter his purpose, didn't turn him. If Peter denies the Lord three times with cursing, the Lord's not going to turn him. He's of one mind. And who can turn him? And whatsoever his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And look at verses, let's begin reading here in verse 20. I have found David, my servant. Now that's Christ Jesus. Hold your place there. Turn back to Job 33:24. Job 33:24. If there be a messenger with him, that is one of God's sheep. An interpreter. That is the Holy Spirit, or a preacher sent with the Word of God in his mouth and the Spirit of God in him to convey that Word. If there be a messenger with him. An interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, that he has none. Then he is gracious unto him. I'll wait to be gracious. And saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. Now, does he deserve to go into the pit? Do we all deserve to go? Yeah, we do. Because we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short. We've fallen short of the commandment of our God. Glorious as he is, almighty as he is, as kind and faithful as he is, yet we have come short of all his commandments. Deliver him from going down into the pit. And why? I have found a ransom. I found somebody who can pay all of his debts. I found somebody that can make good on everything that he ought to do. Now look back over at Psalm 89:20. I found David. I found a ransom. I found my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Now look over at verse 3. He says there, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. God the Father struck hands with the Lord Jesus Christ and covenanted with him that when Christ would come down into this world and give himself a sacrifice for sin, that he would receive those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ had stood in public office and gave himself a sacrifice for him, that based on his fulfillment of that contractual agreement, that covenant, that God would receive them for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the covenant was with Christ Jesus, the covenant head of his people, in whom all his people were. But to the people who are in Christ, it is a New Testament. And freely bequeaths all his goods to us. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also will strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Now, when he says here, my faithfulness and my mercy will be with him, he's talking about Christ mystical. The Lord Jesus Christ did not receive the mercy of the Father, but he delivered him up for us all. But we have certainly received mercy from him. It's Christ mystical that is spoken of here. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be established. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation, and I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. As for me, this is my covenant with them. This is what I am going to accomplish through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne to the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and we have, and we do, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with the stripe. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul hadn't went up into heaven and personally persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ with him sitting on the throne, but he was persecuting Christ in his members. He was wreaking havoc on the church of Christ. He was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ in his members. And that's the same thing he means here. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him in his members. Look at what David did. Look at what Peter did. Look at our own failures. And were it not for the faithfulness and covenant of God, if we got anything like what we deserve, the Lord had just said, all right, that's the way you want to be. I'll just leave you to yourself. See how you get along. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not another take for him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Now the Lord had taken us unto himself in his election of grace before the foundation of the world, and sworn to the Lord Jesus Christ, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and had promised that he would justify all those people by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the very weakest one of the children of God failed to make it home to glory, then the whole program has fell down flat. That's not going to happen. God's truth and holiness, his oath, is at stake for my own namesake. Not because we're worth saving. Not because we ever did anything to make God love us, but because he took us up in grace before the foundation of the world. We were in Adam long, or we were in Christ Jesus long before we were in Adam. We were in spiritual union in a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ before we ever came to natural union in Adam. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take for him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break. Whew. As for me, this is my covenant. This is my determination. What you do's got nothing to do with it. This is my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie unto David. That's good news now. God has determined to bring his people to glory. In his own immutability, in his own sovereignty, he is determined to bring those whom he chose in Christ from everlasting to glory. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in the heavens. Selah. Well, what shall we do then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Look at that. Look at Romans chapter 6. Isn't that what Paul said there? Well, he says in verse 20 of chapter 5, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law entered in order that sin in us would be stirred up and we'd be proved to be sinners. Where no law is, there's no transgression. It's not imputed, even though there's law, there's sin in our members. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Think of the cost. To us, this salvation's free. But it cost our Lord Jesus Christ his sufferings, his lifeblood, and his death. And he did that in order to make us dead to the law in him. I am crucified with Christ, and therefore if I'm crucified, the law can't touch me. I'm crucified in Christ. And if I'm dead to the law, then I'm dead to sin. And it is his death that made me both dead to the law and dead to sin. How then can I commit such treason against someone who is so lovely, so merciful, so good, so kind, so great, and has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness? How could I be so treacherous? But we do. And the reason we do is because we're sinners. But he doesn't forsake us. His covenant is established forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is that covenant.
Amen.
Look at Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah. Chapter 42. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. That's the Father speaking to the Son. And will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people and the light of the Gentiles. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything for our happiness in time and eternity depends upon the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ to the appointment that God had given him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Turn on over to Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. The Lord Jesus Christ in his person as God-man mediator is our covenant with God. He fulfilled everything for us. And he said, it is finished. It finished. It is finished. Amen. I'm glad he didn't say, like most Arminian preachers say, it started. Now it's up to you to finish it. No, it's finished. It's a finished work. Rest. Rest. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.